This is interesting. State libraries, the changing face of today's public libraries. Ben Footner is the president of public libraries here in South Australia. Benjamin, good afternoon and welcome.
Afternoon.
Oh, all Benjamins get called Ben. It's such a good name, Benjamin.
Only when we're in trouble.
Yeah. Your mum, when she's cross
with
you,
right.
Says Benjamin.
That's right.
And the executive committee member of the public libraries here in South Australia, Dion Collins. Is that right?
Dione.
That's right. Okay, got it right. Third go round. Welcome to you both. The changing face of today's libraries. I mean, gone are the days. I'm a fair bit older than both of you. You'd only go into a library if you wanted to borrow a book and forget to take it back, and you know, and then get a telephone call in the old days and they say, Mr. Pillington, you've had that book on Biggles forever and a day. But Ben, there's been a lot of changes in those years gone by.
Yeah, books are only one part of what we do these days. So it is a lot about our facilities themselves and them being lounge rooms for the community, is what we like to call them. A welcoming space where people can feel at home and safe. We offer a lot of access to technology and computers for people that may not be able to access the internet and those sort of devices at home. We have a lot of resources available online as well, so that was a huge help to the communities across South Australia during lockdown. Large amounts of collections that are available to access online, and audio books in particular that are going crazy at the moment too. They're very much in, so a lot of streams that we provide services to our communities these days besides the traditional books.
These audio books are a big thing. My wife drove forever and a day, and I said, how did the drive go? She said, I had an audio book into the computer, whatever the heck it was, and she said it was fantastic. They did the accents and they did the, and she said it just made the trip go so quickly. And you're obviously hearing that, Jan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, people are time pressured at the moment, so you're trying to juggle different things. So you don't always have time to sit down and read, but you can actually get access to, you know, a good story or information through the audio books. Or some people are just bypassing the old CD into the CD player and they're going straight to streaming through their own devices. So we really want to make sure that all of our community knows that we can support them both in a physical format, but also online.
Right. From Marcia up there in the Clara Valley sends you an email. She said, years ago, you had travelling library buses, so vital to those of us who live in the country and can't get down to Adelaide on a regular basis. Do these travelling library buses still exist, Ben?
Some council areas do run them. I know there's Adelaide Hills, there's through the Flinders Ranges as well.
Yeah.
One great thing we do have here in South Australia is that we have universal membership. So if you're a member of your local library, it means you can walk into any library in South Australia.
So gone are the days you actually had to be a resident in the local library council area to operate the facility.
Yeah, so if you're on holiday down in Victor Harbour, for example, you can borrow some books there while you're down there. Take them home with you and then return them to your local library and they'll get back to Victor Harbour.
Right. So gone are the days, if you lived at Walkerville, you had to be when you wanted to use the Walkerville library, for argument's sake, in years gone by, you actually had to be a resident and then nearly prove that you're a ratepayer.
That's right. No, none of that anymore. And what's great about it is that doesn't matter where you live in the state now, even some far-reaching regional places, you can access the same level of collections as anyone in the metropolitan area, for example. Everyone has the same level of service, which is great.
Yeah, and what if I were to go into a public library and I needed help with some of the IT stuff that I wasn't really au fait with, is there often somebody there that can help?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There is. We have either volunteers that come along and help us, but also a lot of our staff are trained. So we partner with other government programs to support seniors with digital literacy. But anyone can come in and say, look, I've just got this device and I don't know how to work it. And we will connect you up with either helping ourselves or the people that can.
And this is a free service?
Absolutely free service.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's really important because a lot of people don't have access to that. We had a lady come in to our staff recently and her alarm kept going off on her phone at 3 a.m. every morning.
Right.
But she didn't know how to turn it off and didn't want to tell her family. So it really is the place that we can come and help you with anything.
And didn't want to tell the family because they think, oh, Mum, you're so old.
Yeah.
And the alarm was going off at 3 o'clock and, oh, you bloody well get rid of the phone, wouldn't you?
You absolutely
would. You'd chuck the thing. You're going to put Richard Pascoe out of business if you can offer that sort of service. Really true. Ben, how many people still use public libraries? Some people would say, sounds great, the technology is available, all sorts of options are available, but how many people are still actually using public libraries in this day and age?
Well, we get around 10 million visitors a year to all to the 130 public libraries across the state. Yeah, so that's actually more than the total annual attendance of all of the AFL matches, cinemas, and the both zoos combined.
You'd win money on that. If you said, how many people do you reckon go to the public libraries? I'd have said, 400,000?
Yep,
you're saying 10 million?
10 million a year. Yep.
You're not counting twice.
No, we're not. We often get accused of that, I think. But no, it's absolutely true.
That's a staggering amount of number.
Yep. Yeah. Right. A lot of people just come for the actual environments themselves. So there's a lot of beautiful library facilities in South Australia. Both Dione and I have some new library facilities as well. And people just love to... It's often called that third place that people can go to, that's really comfortable and welcoming. And it doesn't matter what, your age or background or socioeconomic status, it's free to everyone. So it's that real welcoming place that people can go to, and they don't have to buy something. They don't have to buy a coffee, or, you know, you don't have to partake in some retail, service to actually participate in it. It's there for you as a gift, basically, as being a member of the community.
In years gone by, you're both too young to remember, it was a case of always be quiet in the library.
Well, you know,
with all this technology you've got, must be as noisy as all hell.
Yeah, well, the kids' area in our library gets pretty rowdy at times, but there's still... we try and cater for all uses these days. So there's spots where you can sit and quietly read and study, but there's also spots that families can go and kids can be a bit rowdy and not feel self-conscious about that too. So,
Dione, what difference has COVID made to the operation of your libraries? Any difference at all?
Well, I think it's sort of strengthened what we already know that we do. So. Yeah. Connecting with the community has been a critical thing. When we actually had to close branches for a brief period of time, we increased home deliveries, for instance. So,
really?
Absolutely. We still connected. So we often, many libraries expanded the home delivery service. So to nurses that couldn't get there, people in quarantine or isolation. So it's really strengthened that part that we're a member of the community. We're here to help. We also had to change, like everyone else, to digital programming. So I know of libraries in the South Australian network that within 2 days of us closing our physical doors, they're online programming. So that was like kids' programs, so that, you know, families had that continuity, that the world's a bit strange, but I still see, you know, Bianca, who's my local librarian, doing the kids' story time, and she's online and I can watch her in a safe digital space.
Right. Ruth's email said the technology being offered sounds wonderful, and I can appreciate the fact that it is the trend and it's the way everything's going. She said to Benjamin, are books still available? Actually want to go and take a book off the shelf, big writing, and sit down and read it?
They are most definitely still available, and a lot of people still prefer print medium over technology. So really the online or the ebook, the different formats just suit people in different contexts. So I love a print book, but I also have a lengthy commute to work every day, and an ebook really makes that a lot less stressful. So to be able to, so you can use different technologies and different formats in different contexts and really cater to all sorts of different people. But we definitely still have libraries chock full of books ready and waiting for people to borrow.
And the fine's still available if you're a year and a half getting them.
I don't believe there is any library in South Australia that charges fines anymore, believe.
Really?
Yeah, so
times
fines
have changed.
We're up with the times now, so we want people borrowing books. Yeah. And we're not going to lynch someone if they're a little bit late with them. Obviously, we want them to come back eventually and as close to on time as possible, but we also understand that life happens as well. So definitely encourage people that it's not I think some people may have had traumatic experiences of libraries in their younger days where they've been told to be quiet or that they weren't allowed to borrow this or that or whatever. It's definitely not that anymore. So I really encourage people to check out their local library and see how different it is.
If you've got a question, by all means, give us a ring. We'll put the question to our guests. It's just on 18 minutes to two. I had a mate years ago, John, I won't mention, John Smaldicombe, and he used to go into the library in Melbourne, And there was a couple of risque sort of books that he'd be reading. And I said, Jack, well, why don't you take them home? He said, oh, Mum would go through the roof if she... I said, what do you do? He said, oh, the lovely lady in the library thinks that I'm studying for something around that. And he'd sit in the corner. And I said, what was the book? He said, oh, it was just a kind of a raunchy sort of a comic. It's a long, long time ago. Those days have probably changed.
You're going back now. I know in my early days in libraries, we used to have that section that was behind the front counter that people had to request. But they're long gone now with the internet. People can get what they want, where they want it. So we don't really have to keep that sort of stuff anymore.
Gee, if John Smallcombe's listening and he's living in Adelaide these days, he's probably thinking, oh, shut up. Fortunately, sadly, his mum's died a long time ago. You got a question about public libraries? Such a good place to be. Give us a ring on 8223 0000. That interactive number of ours. It's just on 17 minutes to 2 o'clock now.
The Skip. Mark Bickley talks footy with Rowie each Monday night. Thanks to McGain Real Estate. If you're selling, they have buyers ready to go right now. Sold by McGain. Again.
G'day, Tom Wren here. March is Epilepsy Awareness Month, and the Epilepsy Centre here in SA receives no government funding for family support and the education and training they provide across the state. If you want to support them and the 63,000 people living with epilepsy in SA, take a minute to sign the Epilepsy Centre's petition for state government funding, or purchase a $60 lottery ticket for a chance to win $40,000 cash. Go to epilepsycentre.org.au, license M13978.
Hop into a Fruit Shock shop this Easter. We have something for every bunny. Come in and check out our huge Easter range, including our exclusive Fruit Bunny and new Fruit Shock Easter eggs. They're excellent. The Fruit Shock shop. Easter puns not included.
Honey.
Beads.
Cutting keys.
Number crunching.
Smelly cheese.
Whatever small business you're in, Australia Post is here to support it. You can make deposits and withdrawals at your local post office. If you bank with one of over 80 financial institutions, including CommBank, Westpac and NAB, bank where you post. It's another way we're delivering for Australia. At Australia Post. Bank at Post is an agency service available at participating post offices. Consult your financial institutions for available services and T's and C's. Limits apply.
I don't think people understand Kangaroo Island as much as they should. There's no place like an island. And when you land or when you drive off the ferry, you've just got that stretch of water in between. And let me tell you, it's a completely different mindset.
A stunning lifestyle opportunity awaits on Kangaroo Island. Generous lots at the Seaside Emu Bay development are selling fast. View the views. Go to seasideki.com.au.
Have you reached a crossroads in your life? Looking to make a change for the better? Secure your family's future and make a difference in your community whilst building a business in the thriving and dynamic home care industry with Right at Home. You'll enjoy the freedom to grow your own business with the full support of a top quality national home care brand. Make your dreams come true. Talk to Right at Home about a home care franchise. To find out more, visit rightathome.com.au and click on Business Opportunities.
Hi there, I'm Matt, a Specsavers optometrist. Did you know that every Specsavers is locally owned and operated by an optometrist just like me? We believe eye tests should reveal more, not cost more, which is why we include an OCT advanced 3D eye scan with every eye test at no extra charge. Does your optometrist? Experience the Specsavers difference and book your eye test today. We're here to look after your eye health and keep you safe in store. Visit specsavers.com.au.
Chris Jarmer from Jarmer's Kitchen. You've hosted countless functions, christenings, 21st birthdays, engagements, even weddings.
Yes, it's all about trust, Leith, and we're very appreciative to be a part of these big family events and celebrations because we've been doing them for over 15 years. Some families have been back to the Jarmer Room multiple times.
All you need to do for a memorable function is ask for Chris and let him show you their facilities. Take a look at jarmerskitchen.com.au or check Facebook and Instagram.
Entertain with ease this long weekend at Dan Murphy's. Find unbeatable offers on a range of drinks, like a bottle of Nicola Foyer Selection Brut Champagne for just $44.90. Select delivery now at checkout to get your drinks delivered in under 2 hours. Choose to drink wise. Conditions apply. Offer ends Thursday, April 1.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Repairs, an RAA approved caravan crash repairer.
This is Tony Pilkington.
And we're talking with Dione Collins, who's on the Executive Committee member of the Public Libraries here in South Australia, and the President of the Public Libraries of SA, Ben Footner. You've got a question about libraries in this day and age? By all means, give us a ring and put your question to both of our guests. Again, a reminder, if you're organising a conference or a special event, it could be a business get-together, and perhaps they're back on the cards. Something as important as a wedding reception, especially family get-together. It might be a birthday, an anniversary, a reunion of some kind or another, and you're looking for a really good spot that can cater for you comfortably and economically. The conference and events package is available at the Comfort Inn Regal Park, up there at 44 Barton Terrace East, up in North Adelaide, right opposite the Parklands. Accommodation is available on site if you stay late, and there's free parking out the back too. They can do all of the catering, and it's absolutely affordable. Makes all the difference in the world. Contact us, Cecilia. Cecilia is the events manager up there. Her telephone number is 8267-3222, a North Adelaide number, 8267-3222. Cecilia, the events manager, looking after all sorts of conferences and special events, and the packages available are really good at the Comfort Inn Regal Park at 44 Barton Terrace East, up there in North Adelaide, right opposite the Parklands. Free parking, free Wi-Fi, accommodation available on site, ticks all of the boxes. Ben and Dione, just a question very quickly, just on a personal note. Dione, what did you do before you joined the library people here in SA? What was the career before that?
Yeah, well, I spent many years in retail while I was going through university deciding what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
But I always came back to public libraries, especially through travel. It's such a great place to be. And so then I worked for a technology company for a long time,
yeah,
that looked after libraries. And then finally I got to work in public libraries, which was my secret dream for many, many years.
Really? You wanted to do it?
Yep.
Did you frequent the libraries a lot in your growing up years, university years?
I did. Yeah. I did. My mum always took us to the public libraries, which was fantastic. And then through university, I clearly had no money, so I also used public libraries. And I was a bit of an environmentalist too, so I loved that fact that you can just borrow rather than having to buy. So, you know, sharing the same resources.
So a broke university student, where can I go to get all of the information, all the stuff? I'll get out of the public library. Don't cost me a cracker. Ben, your background is the boss of the whole show these days.
Yeah, I am at the moment, but I'm a lifer, unfortunately, or fortunately. I think everyone, a few people have that dream, but yeah. I started when I was 16, after a stint in as work experience, and then I got my first job as a casual reshelver after school. I used to trundle in there in my little school uniform with my socks pulled up and shelf books after school. So now that's nearly 25 years ago, so I'm feeling old.
The patronage these days in public libraries, are we talking about generally older members of our community, or is it because of the changing technology, more and more young people are availing themselves of the services you offer?
Yeah, so it's quite a cross-section of the community. A lot of people, I think, are looking for alternative spaces. Younger people are looking for alternative spaces to work and study. They can study at home, but you don't get that collegiate feel at home. I think when you're in a public space, you feel like you're out and about a little bit, and people prefer that. And then we do have the older community members that come in for the traditional print material, but also just to have that social interaction, either with other customers, or often it's for a chat with the staff. That's a really important role we play with our communities as well.
Okay, yeah. I have a call from up in the Adelaide Hills, lovely part of the world. David from up there has given us a ring with that question for us. David, good afternoon.
Oh, mine was a comment congratulating the library on their e-book collection. I have several friends that have very, very poor eyesight because of macular degeneration and similar, and your access to quality content makes their lives much better. They'll often comment on a book they've listened to, and the fact the library facilitates so wonderfully up here at Mount Barker, making sure they can get new and interesting content. Kudos to you.
All right. Good on you, David. You made both of our guests pretty happy. Davina's email, she said, is food available? Do most of the public libraries in this day and age have a cafe facility? She said, love the idea of spending a couple of hours there, but would like to do it with a coffee and a bit of cake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some do is the answer to that. It really depends on your local library and how recently it's been upgraded. And it depends on where they sit in amongst the rest of the business community. So libraries like to work within the rest of the business. So I know, for instance, Adelaide Hill Stirling is right amongst that cafe culture. Prospect is the same. So we like to support local businesses, but we say get your coffee, get your food and come in and sit with us. That's totally fine.
Or readily available.
Yep.
Yeah, most libraries are quite happy for their customers to bring food in, and it's probably just around the technology to be a bit careful, but otherwise we have no problems with people bringing a coffee and a bit of cake in to sit in a corner and read a book with.
And with non-sort of COVID times, obviously that changes some things, but I know one of our libraries, for instance, has a community kitchen, and so we have lots of people that come in and study, or actually entrepreneurs that sit and work amongst other people, and they heat their food up in the community kitchen. So really there's a lot of space for just go and check out your local library and see what it offers.
Dione and Ben, we've got a question from Sam. He said, without sounding like a dinosaur, he said, I've got to a CD collection, and he said, everybody says throw it away, it's old technology. He said, do you still have and do you still hire existing or some old CDs, Ben?
Yes, we do actually. Yeah. All still maintain CD collections. We recognise that not everyone has the capacity or ability to access streaming, so CDs are still very important, and I think people still like to have that experience of playing an album, I think, at times as well. I know I do, so definitely still maintain our CD and DVD collections for that matter as well. Yeah.
Heather's question, Dione. She said, what is the book, the hardcover book, that still rents out most at libraries? Is there a standout still in this day and age?
Gosh, I'd have to trawl through my memory and brain to think what that is. I'm sure there is. I know The Barefoot Investor was like number one book for a very, very long time.
The Barefoot Investor.
And it's still very much up there.
Yeah.
But obviously that's non-fiction. So fiction, I'm looking at Ben thinking, do you know, probably we could get back to you with that and put it up on your social feed.
So there's not an absolute standout, obviously.
No, it fluctuates depending on whatever the new release is at the time, and whatever the hot topic is as well. You'll tend, if it's something gets featured on radio or something like that, you'll tend to get phone calls pretty almost straight away afterwards.
Oh,
I just heard this this afternoon, so and so getting interviewed. I like to reserve their books, so it tends to be fluctuate a little bit.
I reckon the Kate Ellis book that has been released today is going to be a real talk about timing. Oh, timing is absolutely perfect. God, she's rubbing her hands together. I know it's a theoretical question. Ben, what do you see the future, say, as we look at 5-10 years down the track for public libraries? A lot of changes?
No, I don't think so. I think there's still going to be a place for print materials, definitely. I think people still want that tangible or tactile experience when they read, but there'll be that alternative formats for people who want to access their information in that way. I think libraries will have an increasing role in supporting the community with technology. I think particularly as a lot of government departments and processes get pushed online, there's a real need for people, particularly from disadvantaged backgrounds, needing support to access government services or to help them gain employment or skills that will help them gain employment. So I think libraries will have a big part to play there. And I also think libraries are becoming more about the space or the facility itself. So
how do you mean?
It's actually about having a universal institution within your community that is welcoming to everyone and doesn't have any sort of base level qualifier that allows you to go in. You know, anyone can get a library membership. Doesn't matter what your age or background, you can go in and you can feel welcome and you can feel like that facility is there for you.
Is library membership free?
It is free, yes.
Free?
Yep. Yep.
God, there's not many things in this day and age that are free, Ben. I've got to give you the tip. Dione, what are the hours? Do all of our libraries operate on the same hours? And are they open? This is from Carl. Are they open on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays?
Easy answer is no, they're not all open at the same time. Most would be open weekends and some late nights. So just I highly recommend go to your local council website and check out your library hours. I know libraries work really hard to sort of cater for people that work during the day. So we have a good span of hours. And the great thing about that one card network is if your local branch isn't open at the time you need, then just go to the next closest one. We're all happy to help.
Dione and Benjamin, thank you for your time this afternoon. Congratulations on the great work that you do, and I'm glad to know that public libraries are alive and well and thriving here in South Australia and will continue to do so.
Good thank on you very
thank
much.
Thank you both for coming in. Nice to have met you. It's 3:30 minutes to three. After three